Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yotis B, support us back. Stu is here. Hi, Stu.
Hey, B. How's it going?
Oh, I've missed that. John's here. Hi, John.
Hello, Brandon. Hello, Stu. How are you?
John, we're great.
Doing well.
We're great, John.
As you know, we like to start off with a song parody, so up.
Here we go.
I didn't know we had one of these.
It's been 6 weeks since we did a show. That's all I got. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I didn't actually have it.
Okay. Oh, man.
Nope, I had nothing there. Shoot. Actually, I didn't think about it till just now. I should have done a goddamn 1 week parody.
Yeah. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough time to do the show, but we've got all the time in the world for song parodies.
So I'm actually too busy to record.
That has only worked for in the history of the world. The only person that's ever worked for is Weird Al Yankovic.
It's true. Yeah, it's terrible for everybody else, including us.
Including us.
Yep, we did get some. We did get a couple likes out of it, though.
Oh yeah,
probably three or
power,
four comments.
Some power likes.
Power likes. I loved it.
We set a new sportive record with two likes.
Yeah.
And one of them wasn't Wade. So that was pretty cool.
Non-Wade likes.
Yeah.
Those are so hard in this industry.
Yes.
It's so hard to get a non-Wade like.
That's our key metric that we present to advertisers is non-Wade likes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. In our forward-looking annual plan for next year with our metrics and KPIs, that's one of the keys. Just trying to differentiate, disrupt the industry. Speaking of disrupting the industry, I was thinking that this is a sports show and we should talk football.
Everybody loves football.
Yeah, totally. That's good shit. Okay, so this is our world famous 23.5% of the way through the season review of the Vikings. It's not good. It's not good. Is it already over?
It's not already over, but you can see the vultures circling. If they lose this week, it is over. You cannot lose to the Detroit Lions. The Seattle game maybe gave people a false sense of optimism that they had righted the ship. But the Seattle defense, literally one of the worst defenses, especially Seattle used to have a great defense. And the entire game, Justin Jefferson was 15 yards open the entire game. Tyler Conklin was open that much the entire game, and he's like the backup tight end. So I think that maybe gave people a false sense of hope going into Cleveland, and oh my God. There is a clip out there of Myles Garrett, the mutant defensive player for Cleveland, just throwing Rashad Hill around like a dog with a rag doll, basically just... And they even set it to the Benny Hill music, which is the appropriate soundtrack. And obviously with that kind of pressure, Kirk Cousins, not one of those guys who's good at improvising. He's just good at, being Kirk Cousins. So the end result.
He doesn't make a whole lot of plays with his feet.
No. When you decide not to cover anybody like Seattle did, which is a very strange choice, Kirk Cousins can play really well. But when you don't do that, then you have Kirk Cousins at a marked disadvantage because he's Kirk Cousins. So I don't think it's over, Brandon, but while we can see what the flaws are, which is still the offensive line and the limitations of the quarterback. And man,
The defense bad now?
They were bad against a very good Arizona team.
Right, that's true. They are good.
The secondary, I think, is still shaky as hell. If Baker Mayfield, who was the best player for the Vikings on Sunday, if he had connected with Odell Beckham any twice of the five times he was wide open behind the secondary, it would have been a much different game. And I think maybe, I mean, it's already bleak, but it would have been bleaker. So, the defense, I mean, Danielle Hunter's better. Everson Griffin is playing okay. Kendricks is all over the place. But yeah, the secondary, I think, is still the shakiest part of that unit. And obviously the offensive line on the other side.
Sure. So you think it's sort of not looking good because of the record or because of how they've played?
Well, I mean, okay, they're a missed 37-yard field goal from being 500. Yeah. And there was a goofy fumble call that was probably – that game would have probably ended in a tie. So, like, 2-1-1. So it could have been a lot worse. I mean, it could be better, but it's not – I don't know.
Until last week, their first 3 weeks, they looked like an offensive juggernaut.
They did.
Is that true?
Yeah, it looked like nepotism was actually good for a change.
The first time ever.
I know. Kubiak seemed to be putting Cousins in situations where he could succeed. The running game, Dalvin Cook was fantastic. When Madison came in for Cook, and he was great. But last week kind of put the lie to – that was the first major test against a really solid defense, and they didn't do so good, Brandon.
No, nope.
They didn't. It was like the first drive, obviously, was great. They got a touchdown, and the rest of the game, if you wanted to compare it to – remember the – maybe Zimmer thought it was a playoff game. That's my guess, is that –
That did remind me of the Eagles.
Yeah, exactly. The one really good drive, and then they just kind of turtled. That was a very Mike Zimmer performance right there. So maybe he just thought it was already the postseason. You never know. That should let you know that Chicken Fingers is not on the show tonight because of, I think, a hockey practice or something.
Yeah, no, he's not going to be here, thank God. He's already angry.
He's never been more angry.
No, never in his life. They have been fun to watch. Is that fair? I feel like every game I did miss the first game, but I do know that was a up and down affair. They've been high drama at least.
There's not a lot of you can't really call anything to do with Cincinnati fun. The Arizona game was a blast. I actually watched that in John will appreciate this. I watched it at Dan Marley Sports Bar.
as one does.
I never saw every like white guy who was with red hair. I called him Thunder Dan, but it was never him, so it was kind of a bummer. But I watched there with I was visiting my brother, and you know you can gamble in Phoenix now, right?
Nice.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah.
How does that work now?
They have sports books there. There's a sports book right in the Phoenix Suns arena. So you can go there, place your football bets, and then go to Dan Marley's Sports Bar and Cafe and watch the games on NFL Ticket.
So you're close to the sports book, so you could walk back there and cash in any winnings, hypothetically.
I hypothetically cashed in twice. It was actually a very successful gambling day. The only bet I lost was the Vikings, honestly. I bet on Arizona to cover. They did not. They only won by one. So...
That's right.
That was kind of a bummer, but yeah, that was.
So you did the emotion hedge.
Emotional hedge. That was the only one that failed. Daniel Carlson won me like $200. It was a beautiful day.
Learn you from taking the points. You got to just do money line when the emotion hedge.
Exactly. That was my. Yeah. I mean, I was just so happy to I hadn't seen my brother since before the pandemic, so I was just happy to see him. And I got to wager, and the noon games turned out great for the bottom line. So I just was rolling it over, and it's just I got to do this, and it didn't work, Brandon. It didn't work.
Yeah, you're such a deep analytical mind. I'm not surprised that you're really good at gambling. I'm sure you were crunching numbers in the plane ride, looking through any little sort of half point here or there? Did you do like one of those like small bets at one casino to move the line a little bit, and then a huge the other way? So then you only put like 50,000 one way, and then you did like the 700,000 the other way, and then clean up that way.
What was funny is that I was cashing out at the same time as somebody who won a significant wager. He was getting like hundreds after hundreds after hundreds, and I got 250s and a 20, and I just felt so small time.
Oh yeah. That's already a lot.
It's like, yeah, I was like, oh
boy,
come
that
on.
Is I just want to say on behalf of all the cheap dads out there, that is so much money to be betting on sports. Uh-huh. I was gonna ask, like, so how much you bet on these things? $5? $10?
No, I bet. I think I gave myself a bankroll of 100 for the day, and I finished up 200. Oh, so it was like,
that's a lot.
It was. It was like we had to. I paid for our drinks at Dan Marley's Sports Bar and Grill.
All right.
I just broke out in hives at the idea of betting $100 on sports at one time.
Oh God.
Yeah. Some people though are like in on a different planet with betting. Just like what their average bet is. Like I would be in Vegas, and we had a buddy come with us one time. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to bet on Temple or whatever. And I had brought $10 up, and he was like, yeah, no, I think I'll do that too. And he gave me like $600. He's like, yeah, I'll put this on that as well. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to. And that was just his regular, that was his just kind of standard $600 every bet.
Oh my God, yeah. And it's, I mean, what you can do if you're an Arizona resident is you can just download like the DraftKings app onto your phone. I had to like go to the actual sports book and wager since I wasn't a resident. So yeah, that would be, and it's like those, and it's like, you know, prop bets galore. Like if I had bet that week on KJ Osborne to score the first touchdown, if I had put, it was like a plus 750 bet. So I could have like, I could have really gone nuts. I could have gotten all the appetizers at Dan Marley Sports Bar and Grill.
You'd never forget that day.
And now is a word from our sponsor, Dan Marley Sports Bar and Grill. You know, Dan Marley Sports Bar and Grill quality. Sorry, there's that bit.
You mentioned it so many times.
I know. I'm just enjoying it.
So many mentions of Dan Marley Sports Bar and Grill.
What I want to know is where is Tom Chambers like taqueria?
It's got to be across the street.
I want every like you rivals. Know huge dorky white guy from the Phoenix Suns in 1995 to have his own place.
Hornies is down the street.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot because he was with the Jazz for so long. I forgot that he was with the Suns too.
Yeah, I think he was there.
Oh
yeah.
Man,
well, I love Hornies.
Let's just. John, did you want to name any Phoenix Suns?
I'm struggling right now. Did Tom Gugliotta play for the Suns? I can't remember.
Sure.
For the purposes of this show.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Steve Nash.
Yes, could use
him. I mean, he's Canadian. It's a little bit different.
And he was actually really good. So, I was thinking like those like 6'10 guys who are kind of limited athletically.
Dario Saric.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is he considered white? I don't know. It's not as white as Tom Chambers, but then again, who among us?
Whomst.
I got to tell you guys, I looked it up, and I'm actually proud. Us. So proud that Tom Gugliotta actually did play for the Phoenix Suns. I've never been more proud.
I'll be damned.
You should. Yeah, this is it. You peaked. You just peaked.
I'll be damned. I had no idea.
Well, we're not to the basketball part of the
we're not.
The show yet. So let's what we do best, which is stay on task,
on topic.
Okay, so we think the Vikings are going to win this week, get to a very dangerous 2-3,
mm-hmm.
lying in the weeds, mm-hmm. ready to pounce.
Yep.
Be spoilers.
And then they go on to play your kitty cats in Carolina. And then
take
them
down.
And then it's a bye week.
Okay, going to the bye week 3-3. Get ready. I think they're going to be fine.
Okay.
Actually, I think they're the same exact team they've always been. So they'll end up 9-8 or 8-9.
Yeah, I think Rand had mentioned today he anticipates that Week 17 game against the Packers with the Vikings in a must-win situation where they also have to have two other teams lose, and then Green Bay blows their doors off. I think that's a very
boy.
Yeah,
that's it.
That feels really, really good. Honestly, I think that sounds about right. So
that's the stuff. That's just the stuff right there.
While we're on the topic of the Detroit Lions, can we just talk for a minute about the greatest loss in NFL history?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
This, I think, was 2 weeks ago now.
Yes.
But
yes.
Absolutely the best. I have never seen anything like it. I saw the clip later that day, and your mouth, your jaw doesn't actually drop that often. Mm-hmm. But the Lions losing, first of all, on Baltimore moving the ball down the field on a play that was clearly delay of game to everyone by like 3 seconds, followed by the kicker setting an NFL record for a, for any field goal, never mind a game-winning field goal. And it was in Detroit, wasn't it? This was in front of their home crowd.
Sure was, John.
Is Glenn Mason on the Lions coaching staff? That is the only explanation I can think of. Because that was absolutely some Glenn Mason loss stuff right there.
And the kick itself going off the
kick itself,
hitting the crossbar, going straight up in the air, and then just easing over the line to defeat the
a
Lions.
A good 40 feet in the air. I don't know but it seems like that made it worse.
It
like prolonged the misery.
Yeah,
now it's so much more memorable as well.
And it made a good hollow thunk sound when it hit. It was just
really
like,
good thunk.
And you could have heard a pin drop at Ford Field. It was a
losing thunk.
Such an epic defeat. Write down losing thunk, by the way. That's a really good show, Ted.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Yes.
Yep. We can complain all we want to. We're not the Detroit Lions.
No, yeah.
It'll never get worse than that.
No. And I imagine that means if we're playing Detroit this week, that means we're going to get one of those real bottom rung announcer teams. Where it's like the son Marv Albert refuses to admit he had. And a fullback. And that's it. They don't even get a sideline reporter. The sideline reporter is a dog who just barks. They throw it down there. Hey, Skippy, looks like Dalvin Cook is in the injury tent. What do you think? Roof! Roof, roof! Just and that's it.
Humping a pylon.
Exactly.
Silently humping a pylon.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that won't be good. Not going to be good. I want to move on to another around the NFL, around the old around the horn NFL style.
Oh, what's sure. Go crazy.
Yeah. I think that we've all been absolutely loving the Urban Meyer Schadenfreude.
Oh, man.
It's got to be one of the best subplots, maybe the number one best subplot. If you're just going to rank, which we would have done if we ever prepped at all or discussed anything before doing this, maybe rank like our favorite parts of the NFL season so far.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably some, you know, the Cardinals have been a good surprise. Kyler Murray's really fun to watch. Mahomes, mm-hmm. as always. There's a few other probably breakout things, but number one with a bullet, obviously, is watching Urban Meyer just repeatedly shit his pants on national television over and over and over again.
It's so good to see.
God. It really is.
It is.
John, can you, before we get into our content, are you able to sum up as our resident college football wonk why it is that Urban Meyer is so easy for those of us who aren't even paying that close of attention to dislike? He's one of the easiest people to dislike, I think.
Well, I'm gonna give you one fact that I think is probably the... I think it'll sum up the whole Urban Meyer experience for you. So this whole incident that happened, Urban Meyer being caught on video with a woman, not his wife, grinding on his lap, it took place in Urban Meyer's own restaurant in Columbus, Ohio. And I think all you need to know about Urban Meyer is he's the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, but when he specifically took time off so he could go to his own restaurant and just hang out in Columbus, Ohio, he wore an Ohio State sweatshirt to the bar just to make sure. You know, we're all in Urban Meyer's bar. We're in Urban Meyer's restaurant here. And look, that guy looks like Urban Meyer. Is it Urban Meyer? Well, let's look. Oh, he's wearing an Ohio State shirt, mm-hmm. just to make sure that absolutely everyone recognized him. And I feel like that's all you need to know about Urban Meyer.
That's not all you need to know, John.
No, I mean, that's all you could know, and you'd already hate him, but there's so much more to... Yeah.
He's an established awful person. He shielded a domestic abuser on his staff
for years.
I can't fathom. For years.
Multiple times. Mm-hmm. A very replaceable human being.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, he was okay with that.
Yeah, he was fine with that. He's He likes to position himself, as so many college football coaches do, as a upstanding family man, a parent to everyone on the team, as you will.
But in the end, he's just a super horny guy who goes to his own restaurant and gets grinded on. But that's not important right now. What's important to all the listeners of The Sportive is to know that one of the drinks at the Urban Chop House, it's the Urban Chop House by Urban Meyer, is the full name of the restaurant. I need people to know that thing for one.
Already.
But the featured drink at the Urban Chop House by Urban Meyer in Columbus, Ohio, was called the Giant Shelly Teeny. Shelly, of course, being his wife, who was home watching his grandchildren while he was getting grinded on in his Ohio State quarter zip. It is a $40 martini. It serves up to six. No. It contains Finlandia, Aperol, agave, pineapple, lemon, hibiscus, and sparkling rosé. The Giant Shelly Teeny.
Oh my gosh.
$40. And it's just, the name Shelly Teeny is like your first clue that this is just it wants to be a classy, it has upscale pub fare. I hope everybody knows that too. It's elevated pub fare, but they also have something called the Giant Shelly Teeny for $40. It serves six. So I needed to share that with everybody, and I'm going to turn it back over to Brandon and John. I just need to be alone with my thoughts right now, because again,
that might be worse than the abuser thing.
It's in the neighborhood. It's so bad.
It's more in the neighborhood than you'd think it would be if it's just a bad drink. And then you started describing it.
Yeah,
just failure on top of failure.
It's just, and then his, if I remember right, Shelly of Shelly Giant Shelly Teeny fame was also liking the tweets that were criticizing Urban Meyer late Saturday night. So it was a rough patch in that relationship, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I just. So if he's going to get fired, it seems pretty clear. I suppose he might quit.
I mean, he might quit outright or say he's got the anxiety or the something. I don't know.
To not even fly home. I mean, I don't really care about any of this sort of stuff, obviously. And maybe this is a common thing, but it does seem so weird to not fly home with your team the night of a game, especially the one you just lost, to be like, hey, I'm staying here. Gonna go party. Like, a player's not allowed to do that, right? There's no way that a player's
he'd be called, he'd have a lack of, you know, wouldn't be a team player, Brandon. Yeah,
he wouldn't have enough
you gotta grit and grind. You gotta get in there and eat that tape, see what's correctable on the film.
He's staying in town to visit with family. I feel like he's got enough money to send them plane tickets down to where he is if he really wanted to see him that badly. Mm-hmm. As he's working. It's just not good. And he's a bad coach. His team's not doing well. So my sense is, well, we'll see what happens. But once he does get canned, is he going to get another college job?
Yeah, absolutely. But
still, he is not completely.
Oh,
does anybody
no.
ever burn their bridge to that degree? Like to not even be allowed to coach college, the worst of all, the least ethical of all sports?
Maybe Bobby Petrino. What's Bobby Petrino doing these days?
I assume
maybe Bobby Petrino.
I assume he's. Okay. I think he's back at Louisville.
Hold, please.
That
can't be right.
Maybe Arkansas. No, Arkansas is good.
Bobby Petrino.
He's the head coach at Missouri State.
Missouri State.
University.
Missouri State. Huh.
Okay.
Who knew?
And they're not good. They're not very good. That's about as good as you're going
to
get.
Louisville. He did manage to go back to Louisville. Boy, something else.
Oh. Wow. So he only didn't fully land on his feet. Well, he did, except he was just such a failure that it ended up not working out anyway.
Right.
He was the coach when Lamar Jackson was there.
He sure was.
We have now, I just want to point out, we got 23 minutes before we started just getting to the part where we're just reading the Wikipedia aloud to each other. We couldn't be more dads if we tried. Okay, so you think that there's nothing he could do at this point, probably,
no.
to become unhirable.
Nope, he'll be coaching like Texas or USC or one of the big name programs that has an opening here probably within a year or two.
Jesus. Duh. That's not good. Well, should we move on?
Oh, he also taught a course at Ohio State on moral leadership. I just want to point that out.
Yeah. Anyway. I did hear that.
Shelly Teeny.
Leadership.
Shelly Teeny.
$40.
$40.
Rosé. Shelly
Teeny. Yep. Sparkling.
And what else?
Urban Gin? Meyer's Chop House by Urban Meyer.
By Urban Meyer.
He's in there. They're all his recipes. They're all his famous homemade.
All that elevated pub fare.
Wait, does that mean, do you think he got the recipe for the Shelly Teeny from his wife, who regularly mixes martinis for six?
I would, if I were her.
Yeah.
Hard to blame her.
I mean, that's possible. We've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not passing judgment here. I'm just wondering.
Just before we pressed record, John spilled an entire drink all over his office and had to throw away multiple possessions.
His papers.
It smells like college in here right now.
A full Shelly Teeny dumped on his desk.
A full Shelly Teeny. $40 worth of rosé and Finlandia.
64 ounces, a broken fish bowl. It's ugly. It's an ugly scene
I still put all four straws in it, even though there's no one here but me.
Yeah. No, it's important. You got to stick to the recipe. The recipe calls for four straws and tears. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to the Minnesota Twins. Segment number two, Minnesota Twins. That was probably part of the reason why we haven't been recording in so long is it was just we weren't ready. We weren't ready to talk about it. We had high hopes. We had the highest of hopes. As the most cynical members of the lamestream media, even we got sucked in to the boy geniuses. And even though we like to disagree with each other, none of us really did at the start of the year when we started talking about our bros and turds. Nobody ever checked the other or said, hey, should we slow our roll a little bit, pump the brakes? We didn't. None of us did. And so we were embarrassed and ashamed. And to lean into more embarrassment and shame, John, did you want to walk through those results of the bros and turds?
I will. I will walk through our bros and turds result. We have had some bad years on the bros and the turds and on the win predictions. Is about as horrible as it gets. I'm going to do the win predictions first. And I'm going to read them in ascending order of terribleness. The Twins won 73 games.
They sure did.
73.
Here are our win predictions. Brandon, who was just undercutting everybody, predicted 88 wins.
Yes.
88 wins would not have made the playoffs this year, but that was the most pessimistic any of us were. Chicken predicted 89 wins. Stu predicted 92 wins. And I will tell you that I made two predictions, one of which was that the Twins would win. Are you ready for this, guys? 97 games this year.
Jesus.
I was off by 24. I further predicted, as part of the basis for my pick, that the White Sox would win more games than they lost this year. I'm going to go ahead and say that neither of those things happened. The White Sox won 93 games. The Twins won 73 games. That's bad. But believe this, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse.
Well, I feel good. I'm 1-0 right now, although I was off by 15 wins. I can't take the victory.
I'm gonna give you our bro picks in descending order of terribleness. My pick was Josh Donaldson, who had a decent year, I had criteria that went with it. I said he would play more than 120 games, which he did.
Wow.
He played 135 games this year.
Startling.
But I also said that he would have an OPS north of 900, which he did not. He had an 827 OPS. So at best, you can award me a half point there.
Okay. Okay. Upswing.
Second in the terrible rankings, and this is where it really gets bad, was Chicken. Chicken's bro was Trevor Larnach, who this season batted .223 with 7 home runs in 79 games in the major leagues. His OPS was .672. His OPS plus was 88. That's the second best of the bros.
Second best?
That's the second best.
That's getting... oh, my God.
The third best, and this is where things really get surprising. The third best, not the worst bro pick of the year, was Stu's pick. Stu picked... Do you remember who you picked, Stu?
I picked Kyle Garlick.
You picked Kyle Garlick.
No, this... hold on.
He got rolled up in a tarp and he is still there. He is still at Target Field. He's shouting for help right now.
We didn't. What? You didn't add any criteria to it. So
I didn't have to. It was Kyle fucking Garlick.
He was going to play 40 games, which he didn't. He played 36 games for the Twins this year. He did hit 5 home runs, which is what lifts it above.
That is two. That's two away. That's two away from Larnach.
That's two away from Larnach. Brandon, do you remember who you picked?
I mean, did I pick Gary Post as still being innocent as the Zodiac killer? And he got
topical.
I'm afraid not.
I'm Brandon, trying to think of who had a worse year than Kyle Garlick. I didn't know it was possible.
Your pick for a bro was Randy Dobnak. He was not in the starting rotation at the start of the year, but you thought your criteria was that he would be a league average starter this year.
Was he?
He would make 19 starts and have an ERA under 4.3.
Sure,
Randy
Dobnak's
line for the year. He made 6 starts. He'd appeared in 14 games, but he made 6 starts. He was 1-7 with a 7.64 ERA. One of the worst bro picks we've ever had.
He's league average if the league was just babies born without arms. That's the only. That's it.
Just pushing with their noses.
Yes.
I did worse than Kyle Garlick. That was probably a joke pick, and so was Larnach. Two troll picks, and I was being serious. Probably. I don't remember any of this, by the way.
I didn't either, and I was horrified when I went back and reviewed this. All right, our third picks, again, in descending order of terribleness. Chicken's pick was Ryan Jeffers for a turd. Jeffers did play more games. We made some jokes about how he would have to use Jeffers' stats for the Saints and also Larnach's stats for the Saints, that come to think of it.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeffers did play a lot. He actually played more games at catcher than any other Twin. He hit 199. he had an OPS of 670, but he did play 85 games. I would be willing to give that to Chicken. I think Ryan Jeffers was not very good. That might be our only correct pick of all of these. So we're going down. I want to remind you that we're going in descending order here. My pick for turd was Mitch Garver, who, on the one hand, did have one of the more horrifying medical incidents in Twins history.
Let's not mention it.
Yeah. Move on.
Nope. You can Google it if you want to know what it is. Don't. But I said he would have a batting average under 200. He did not. He hit 256 this year. He had an OPS of 875. That's an OPS plus of 140. He had a pretty good year.
Yep.
That is not.
Yep. He had a very good year, except for one important thing, John.
Yep. Yeah, that is not a correct pick. Next, the third worst pick is Brandon, who picked Tyler Duffy, arguably the Twins' best reliever this year.
Okay.
He had a 3.18 ERA. He didn't lead the team in WHIP, but he did have the lowest ERA. He pitched in 64 games.
So he was better than Dobnak? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Yep. But it unfortunately pales in comparison to Stu. Stu, do you remember who you picked?
Well, if I'm the lowest here, God, did I? The only good player they had this year was Jorge Polanco.
I'm afraid to say that Stu's third pick for the year was Jorge Polanco.
Yes.
The only.
Just to recap there, Stu, your pick was Kyle Garlick is a bro and Jorge Polanco is a turd, which is pretty raw. That's Marth Aller-esque there.
Seriously, if the Twins were good this year, Polanco would be like in the top five in the MVP voting.
right.
if the Twins were any good at all. He had an amazing right. year. And wow. Yeah, that's not
this is like
that's not good.
I think I picked Jorge Polanco a couple years ago when he was an all-star. So I know your pain, Steele. I know your pain.
Yeah, well, he literally spent 2.5 years being bad. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, can't get him every time, John.
Nope.
That was our bros.
Or coach. Even some of the time.
Yeah.
Or ever.
Can't
ever get him.
Hardly at all.
Can't ever get him, as they say.
Can't ever get him. That old phrase that everybody says.
As they say, lose some.
can't ever get him.
Lose some more.
Oh, the old phrase. What if I, let me see here. Who do I, I've got a bit for John brewing here. Right in the front of my brain. If I wanted to be optimistic next season, Derek Falvey's mom. John, can you please be Derek Falvey's mom? Or anybody you think that is would be extremely optimistic about next year. What are those reasons? Buxton, number one. Polanco, number two. Easily the top two reasons mm-hmm. to be excited for next year. Miguel Sano said he was going to lose weight. Did you hear that? Right. I, for one, believe him.
I mean,
I totally trust him.
I feel bad because it's the kind of thing he shouldn't say out loud at this point of his career.
Yeah, like, I know. He gets the sympathy nods. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Go lose 30 pounds. That's fine, Miguel. Everybody will be fine with that. But you've been in the league for 7 seasons already. Now is not the time for you to come out and be like, all right, listen, everybody. I'm going to start taking this seriously.
I think I might get in shape. Yeah, might help my performance. I don't know. It's worth a shot.
I mean, God bless him for being honest and letting all of us hold him accountable. We'll be your accountability partners, Miguel.
You got it.
So all
That's
of right. the Twin Cities, if you see Miguel Sano like eating out of a jar of peanut butter or going into a Dairy Queen, just follow him in there and slap it out of his hand. It's the only way.
That'll do it.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Yeah, that'll do it.
We're all of his accountability partners. We can do this. We can do this, Twin Cities.
Now, I mentioned him as the third most exciting thing to look forward to for next season, which is a bit, obviously, we know the third most exciting thing is Andy Albers is back on the team.
He is.
Here we go.
He's our guy.
How many games did he win this year? Hold on.
One.
He got one.
He got
which,
one,
which, to be
baby.
Fair, is pretty close to what Kenta Maeda did. So it's not
That's
terrible.
True, yeah.
It's not so
I
bad.
Looked up Andy Albers' FIP, and it's 9.75. is that possible? It is not. Like, you have to hit every single batter.
His ERA was actually lower than Randy Dobnak, so he's got you there, Brandon.
it's good to have him back.
Damn you, Randy. That's the last time I get burned by a Randy.
9.64 FIP. That is utterly impossible.
It does seem like it. Yeah, it's tough because they obviously have a pretty decent offense. Even if you wanted to squint at the pitching staff, there's nothing really to squint at to look forward to. Now, Pineda is a free agent. Maybe they can bring him back, I think, right?
Maybe.
Seems possible. He's fine.
Yeah.
John Ryan looked good.
Yep.
So that's Bailey fun. Bailey Ober looked good, so
and
they have to kind of...
Everything else is... And again,
those
it's...
guys are—they're all three. They're all 4 or 5 starters, basically. So we're missing like the top three.
Yeah, and we don't know if Ryan and Ober's performance is sustainable. They literally—they're both back half of a season that was already over.
Yeah.
So we don't.
Now you
know.
Think about just using Bailey Ober as an example. I'm watching Dodgers Cardinals game right now, and Dodgers is not a fair thing, but he'd be like their 19th best pitcher.
Yeah.
Right? There's probably half the AAA team.
Yeah, they just swapped out Max Scherzer for Joe Kelly. I mean, come on. What the fuck, man? That's just not even fair.
It's uncool.
go ahead, John.
I was just going to say the Twins used 35 pitchers this year, and there are a good 15 that I've never heard of before right now in my life.
Yeah.
Unreal.
No. Oh, yeah. It was just, because, I mean, everyone quit paying attention to Memorial Day. I mean, the whole summer, if you went to Target Field, you went there to just get, you know, shit hammered and just walk around the concession stands. It was a nice night out, and the game was an afterthought. I mean, there are guys in the team. It's like, who? And yeah, I think Caleb Fielbar had 7 wins, John.
Caleb Fielbar. You remember when we used to joke around and call him Meat Raffle, and that was like 10 years ago?
Yes.
And now he's the Twins' most effective relief pitcher. Life's weird, man.
Very
Life's
dependable.
Weird.
Yeah. A sturdy, reliable relief pitcher.
Pride of Randolph, Minnesota.
Yeah, probably.
Have you ever been to Randolph? It seems like a nice town.
I've driven through it.
Gotta be.
Does it seem like a nice town when you're driving through it?
It seems, John, I'm going to say it's bucolic. I don't care what anyone else says. I think it's bucolic. Jesus.
Wow.
Painted on the water tower, Randolph, Minnesota. Home of Caleb Fielbar, and then, for some reason, in quotes, bucolic.
I would ascribe the virtue of verdant to their meadows.
Ooh.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
You're really talking it up.
Lush and green, baby.
Lush and green?
Lush and green.
Oh.
And if you don't believe the guy who said Jorge Polanco was going to suck this year, who can you believe?
That's right. Always doubted him. Are you guys adopting any teams for the playoffs?
Well, in the American League, it's probably got to be the Rays.
It has to be.
Who else?
Honestly, here's how pathetic it is. I think the Red Sox are my second favorite team.
Really?
That's pathetic.
Ugh, yeah, that's gross.
I'm not cheering for the White Sox.
No, they're gross human
beings.
Sure
as fuck not cheering for the Astros. They're the last place for a very long time. I don't even know how many years until I decide I don't hate them anymore. Maybe if one of my kids plays on them, then it might start to thaw. I'm not even any good at baseball, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and then in the NL, I guess the Giants?
Yeah. Braves? No, I don't.
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Until they stop being racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's true. Yeah, they should stop that first. It's hard to...
Do you want me to send you into a rage spiral, Brandon?
Please.
Okay. Barrero tweet today about the White Sox.
Oh, no.
I guess Tony La Russa wasn't that much of a monster after all.
No way.
Yep.
No way. God. I do not get it. I mean, how he's like 60-something years old, that desperate for attention. He's got to
call
people on the internet.
How can you look at that White Sox team and give Tony La Russa credit? That's just...
Congratulations, Tony La Russa.
Congrats, Tony La Russa.
He had to be at least tied his career high in home runs as a manager this year, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can absolutely give the credit for a team that is just fucking loaded with offensive talent. You got to make sure that's on Tony La Russa. I mean...
He did a lot of those signs when they looked into the dugout and then just said, hit a home run.
I mean,
he gave me the home run sign.
Do you think they woke him up from his nap when they clinched the pennant? Just curious.
That's what they had to use all the champagne for, to wake him up.
Yeah. God. Anyway, I think I made myself mad by bringing that up again. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
He
what
did it for
I really
attention,
want to
and we gave him attention.
Yep.
Why are you following Dan Barrero?
It just popped up in my feed.
You played yourself.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And when is a guy who thought Polanco would be bad, when has he ever played himself?
Yep. Rough day for me.
God damn it. Okay, let's move on to Brighter Pastures, and that is, as always, the unbelievable, undefeated, future champion, your Minnesota Timberwolves.
They're undefeated.
Yeah, baby.
They are undefeated.
I mean, there's exhibition. Yeah. They won by two.
By
against a terrible team. 3 against a terrible team.
New Orleans.
That wasn't playing anybody.
Yeah, Zion Williamson didn't play, and Jonas Valanciunas didn't play.
Big
so
whoop.
That's New Orleans' best two players. But,
I mean, they barely play 40 minutes a night.
Well, I just wanna stress that Anthony Edwards had not one, but two steals in that game.
Two steals.
Defense, they're gonna call Minneapolis defense town. They need to work on it. They got to do better.
D town.
D town.
The big D. He was in everybody's face. D in your face, town. He was just felt like he was swinging from man to man.
The Timberwolves are winning with defense. Why am I even trying to talk right now? The Timberwolves are winning with defense, led by Defensive Player of the Year Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. They're going all the way. It's happening.
And don't forget how much penetration he got on the other end.
Maybe we can wait another 6-7 weeks before we do this podcast again.
Should I just stick to song parodies? we'll see. We'll see. We should first pour a little out for our old friend, Gilda Radner.
it was not a good end to it.
It feels like it was 1,000 years ago already, but it was just a couple weeks ago. Oh, my God.
At a soccer game, gets caught smooching his mistress on the Jumbotron.
Canoodling.
Is that right?
They were canoodling.
They were openly canoodling in public where there are cameras and Jumbotrons. He wasn't even trying to hide it, right?
No.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So many other places to go than the Jumbotron place when you're an executive for a local team.
Yeah. You got to wonder, like, you know, I wonder if any of the beat writers saw any of that and noticed it.
It was... I saw him on the big screen. I thought, hey, there's Gilda Radner. We know about Gilda Radner.
Yeah.
And look, he's got his family at this game. His wife is with him. What I didn't do was look and see if that was actually his wife.
Oh my God.
And not a Timberwolves team employee.
The most Timberwolves thing that could possibly happen. Oh.
And she was an exec too. Like, what are you guys doing? You gotta.
That's you just. Can't.
Just don't do that. I mean, obviously, we don't really care about like personal life, open, whatever. Don't care about that. But like, Jesus.
Of all the date nights, you're gonna go sit in a suite at a soccer game with 19,000 people. What are you doing?
Ugh.
Go to the opera or something.
Honestly, he would have been better off doing it at Target Center.
Fewer people.
Yep. Smaller video board.
A little more control over what's going to be happening. Yep. Just give me a heads up. If there's a kiss cam, I'll hit the bathroom. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And it sounds like it couldn't have happened to a worse guy. So for some reason, there was a little bit of, and maybe this is just the people I follow. The news came out and there was a lot of, oh, yeah, we knew about this guy. Yeah, we knew he was bad news. It's like, yeah, but aren't you like supposed to be reporting on the team? How was this such a shock to those of us who really care about the team? So I don't know if that just like came up lately or for some reason they could never report on it. That was a little goofy to me. But in any event, he's gone. He gone.
Yeah, he gone. And his replacement is the guy who made the ESPN trade machine for the ESPN website. Is that correct, Brandon?
That's right. Sachin Gupta.
Sure, why not?
We like to give nicknames here, and I want to make very clear that we just give nicknames because we're old dads who like to shorten everything. It's not because that's any harder to pronounce than any other person that we've made fun of. Mm-hmm. Steffi Graf. We could call him Steffi Graf. That's easy. That rolls off the tongue. Seth Green or Sean Connery.
I don't know. Here's the problem. I really enjoy saying Sachin Gupta. I don't know.
It does. It is better than everything I've
heard. It really does roll off the tongue. I'm happy to let him keep his name.
All right. First one ever.
Mm-hmm.
The first one. Well, congratulations. Here's the thing. People seem to really love this guy. But Occam's razor is he also has to be a disaster, right? There's no way that we have stumbled into a good situation.
I think we just need to do a little bit of a background check right now and say, does that number of people who love them include anyone who works for the Timberwolves? Let's just get it all out in the open right now before Sajan Gupta might say, you know what I should do tonight? I'm going to go to Allianz Field and go to a soccer game. Let's get this all straightened out now. Yep. Who should I bring? Should I bring my wife? Yeah,
that's I've done that.
She's home with the kids. Let's bring somebody else.
I'm going to need me some strange. No, it's not good. But he is well-regarded. I don't know what that means. I don't know how long it's going to last. But, again, we have to assume that he's just as worthless as the last one and the one before that. They've all been bad. John Hollinger wrote an article in The Athletic making fun of how bad our franchise has been. And he said that they actually only got the GM. They only had one good one in the history. And then he mentioned it was Flip. I'm sorry. He was just as bad or worse than most of them. They've all been bad. Don't call out one of them as an exception. They've been bad from the beginning. They made hardly any good moves. Every single one of them. And this guy did make a couple good moves, and then he was caught humping his non-bride on a jumbotron. So, I don't know. I'm still waiting for that streak to be broken. They've all been so terrible. John, are you...
The most disappointing thing of the whole thing was that they had their season opening press conference, and it was the weird one with Glenn Taylor and Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lohr. Is it Lohr or is it... How is that name pronounced?
I believe it's Lori.
Yeah, I think it's Lori? Lori, like the woman's name.
All right. Mm-hmm. Mark Lohr, they were all there. They couldn't talk about anything, of course, because of legal reasons. So it was an entirely pointless press conference. But the best point I saw made, and this is one of those terrible moments where I was like, oh, my gosh, Jim Suhan was right on the money here. He said, everybody comes into a franchise like this, whether it's Lohr or A-Rod or whatever, they come in and say, oh, we're going to apply. We've been a real success in business, and we're going to apply those same principles to running this team, and they think they're saying something new. But as Suhan pointed out, Glenn Taylor is one of the absolute most successful businessmen in Minnesota history. He built a paper company up from nothing, and now he owns an NBA team. The man is a business genius, and every one of his hires for every important position for the Timberwolves has been utter garbage. So I don't know what Mark Lohr thinks he's going to do with his quote-unquote business knowledge or his core values or principles or whatever that's going to fix this cursed franchise.
Yeah, I don't know either. He's also trying to like build a city out of scratch in the desert.
Yeah,
right. He's like a weirdo, forward-looking entrepreneur type, which is that's a little out there for my taste.
Yeah, it's a little
kooky.
Remember that guy? A little wacky.
Did,
I can't remember whether he owned the Kings or whether he owned the Warriors, but he was like, "Hey, what if instead of playing defense with five guys, we always play with four and always have somebody cherry picking?" I'm just asking questions here.
Vivek, the owner of the Kings, because it worked in and he admitted it was like his daughter's like 10-year-old traveling team. He's like, they just destroy the competition with this. I was like, okay.
Yeah. That's what we're headed for here. Ideas like that one.
Uh-huh. Right. Although I might actually borrow that for my kid this year. I love that idea.
I bet.
Are you coaching his team this year? Because that would be awesome, actually.
Yeah, I coach. I coach every sport now, man. I coach baseball. I coach football now. Football. I mean, it's flag football, so weird out though. Run and gun. Mm-hmm. Spread offense. You know the drill. John, I know at some point every season. Well, we all know this. You say that the Wolves are the worst franchise to ever exist, and then you also sometimes say that you really think they're going to be surprising some people this year. Where are you in that phase right now?
Well, we're right now where we're laughing at them preseason, and then they'll win their next preseason game, and I'll be researching how much season tickets cost and trying to decide whether I want to predict 59 or 65 wins for them this year.
Sure.
It's a disastrous place between my ears. It's just a wasteland.
It really, you know, I'm looking at this roster and they do have six like legitimate professional players. Towns, D'Lo, Edwards, Beasley, Pat Bev, and Taurean Prince. Prince is not amazing, but he's like a competent player. Those are six competent guys. Not great, but fine. And then they've got Jaden, Nas, Okogie, and Vanderbilt, which you'd think probably will be competent. That's like 10 guys who you can pencil in as being good. Now, it seems like they will at least be competitive. I feel like they're a team who's going to win just whatever Vegas says they're going to win, but will be in a lot of games. You lose them at the end, of course. They are still the Timberwolves. But they don't seem like they're going to be blown out a ton just because they do have enough competence. So I'm kind of scratching my head looking at this and going, how is this going to be such a disaster? I suppose Towns will tear his ACL week one at some point, right? First few games.
I don't know why we would assume that he would even make it to the start of the regular season.
That's right.
That seems like a big assumption.
Because if Towns is healthy all season, and we forget about this, but he was healthy for like the first three or four seasons of his career. Like, he's not actually a dude who's always injured. If he stays healthy, they will be fine. They won't be good, but they'll be fine.
Yeah.
So I think that's got to be it. Towns is going to end up having like a dislocated elbow, maybe some sort of turf toe. That's something that's never happened before, right? Basketball player with turf toe. I think it might be that.
He'll have turf toe. I think Anthony will, like, I think the WCCO weather watcher will fall on him.
Okay. I love that.
People think
that we're being ridiculous. Our best player a few years ago was out for a long time because he claimed he broke his hand doing knuckle push-ups. Knuckle push-ups. Mm-hmm. The old Kevin Love story. So none of this stuff is really that far-fetched. This all could for sure happen. Especially that Weather Watcher thing. I'm concerned now.
Yeah. Stay away from Nicollet Mall, people.
True. So true. So I don't know. I'm more confused than anything because they do look like they'll be decent.
They look like they might actually be. They might approach fun. They might approach fun.
Uh-huh.
So that's a warning sign right there that you should be very careful. I mean, I think Rand is getting dangerously optimistic, and we know where that leads.
We're going to have an intervention.
I know.
Honestly, with a team this young, and I feel like everybody's likable. And like I said last year, I want them all to be happy more than anything.
Same here.
I think winning would make them happy, and so I want that for them. I want that for every player on that team.
Yeah, I think the most optimistic, realistic scenario has got to be like a 500 year.
Yes.
That is high-end optimism.
Yeah, totally. And we would take that. We would love that. Yeah. One thing that I think is probably going to happen a bunch of times this year is Towns is an excitable dude, Ant is an excitable dude, and so is D'Lo. And Pat Bev is like a very high-energy guy. I think they're going to be the team this year that like gets some sort of like buzzer beater at the end of the third quarter, alley-oop by Ant to go up by 14 going into the fourth, and they're just hooting and hollering. They're hog-piling. They're going absolutely apeshit, and they end up in the fourth quarter getting blown out, and they lose by 17. Like, that's what the team that I think that they're going to be is really fun and exciting, and still, because they don't actually know how to win, they've never won before, they're just going to stop trying and be very careless with the ball. I'm sensing a lot of blown fourth-quarter leads this year as they just get too excited. A little too riled up. So I think they're going to be a riled up team.
Blown fourth quarter leads for the Timberwolves is really going out on the limb.
Well, remember, that's so much better than just usually always being down in the fourth quarter. So this is just, I think, a little different of like they will show us some spark. And you know what we'll do is we'll be like, well, they'll turn it around next year, shore up those fourth quarter issues, and then they'll end up being a four seed. And then that won't happen. We'll trade Towns. That's what'll happen. So there you go. I also don't think we're going to get Ben Simmons. I'm sorry, John. I just don't think it's going to happen.
No, that seems unlikely.
Yeah, it really does.
Given that the Wolves have no players to trade for him.
Yeah, they don't have good players.
Yeah, yep. I mean.
Well, do you think they'll take Malik Beasley straight up, or do you think we'll have to throw in like a second rounder?
Ugh. Yeah, that's been a fun little saga. I love the soap opera. We need to move on. It's getting late.
It's getting late, and we haven't covered the two things that we have John on the goddamn program for.
That's why he's here. We haven't even gotten it. John, take it away. What do you think is going to happen with the Wild this year? What's your boner clock? What time is it?
Well, Kaprizov is back. That's a big
yeah, guess. Baby.
Yes,
that's the big part of the old clock.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Honestly. There was such a whiplash with that whole scenario because he wasn't signing, and there came a point where he was going to have to miss at least some of training camp because he was still in Russia and he hadn't signed his contract yet, so he was going to have to sign his contract and then he was going to have to come over here and quarantine and whatever, and it seemed like one of those this is terrible scenarios. And everybody was writing articles about, well, you know, players understand this. They want everybody to get their money, and nobody was really willing to write the thing yet where they're like, yeah, they're pissed that he's missing training camp at this point because he could have done this a long time ago. So it was all sort of heading to like this kind of terrible thing. And then he signed, and at that point we all found out that he was already in Florida, had already done his quarantine, had already gotten vaccinated while he was at it in Florida, just so he could be there at the start of training camp. And it was like the flood of the outpouring of positive feeling for Kaprizov. It could have powered the Twin Cities for an entire day. It was absolutely delightful. We love him very much. Everyone loves him. He's our sweet, beautiful younger brother/son, depending on how old you are. And I'm just so excited. I'm so excited to see him back. The Wild are putting a competent center on his line this year instead of Victor Rask. Victor Rask is terrible. Joel Eriksson Ek is awesome. They're putting those two on a line with Stu's guy Zuccarello.
Zooks.
It's gonna be great. I'm excited about it.
In Soviet Russia, contract signed you.
I don't know. It's
I
it's
wanted
a weird
to stay
time
dead
for the Wild.
Silent for that. Damn it!
It's a weird time for the Wild because they've got exciting players, and they're probably going to be pretty good, and they might even not only be competent but exciting to watch. And that is pretty
terrifying.
Much something we've never had. Pretty much something we've never had for the Minnesota Wild. It's a whole new world. So, you know, it's exciting. I'm excited.
Yeah, they're basically like 10th in Vegas odds to win it all. I'll take right. that, baby.
That's awesome.
It's really good.
Literally every season for the past 20 seasons, they've been exactly 16th in the Vegas odds. Like, oh, this will be the last playoff team every year.
Right. Right. Okay.
They came back and won a preseason game tonight. They scored twice in the last 4 minutes. It means nothing because if I ran down the Wild roster for tonight's game, there are a lot of guys that, well, yeah, there actually are a lot of guys. I don't even know who they are.
Can also confirm there were a lot of Wild jerseys on the streets of St. Paul tonight. It was very good to see. Restaurants were full. Bars were full. It was
playoff fever.
Feels so, yeah. There's wild fever is gripping St. Paul. Or it's the Delta variant, one of the two.
Probably
I don't
both.
Know. I'm excited. We've got the Timberwolves, we just said might be fun. We've got the Wild, we just said might be fun. This could be a good winter, fellas.
This is going to be it.
I can do a little update here on something with winter sports. John, how many teams are in the Big Ten?
14?
14?
Oh, boy.
14.
14.
I don't like this line of questioning at all.
Where do you think the Associated Press has the Gophers men's basketball team finishing in the Big Ten?
Now, John, before
I know
you answer,
the answer to this, I
remember
know
the number you just
this.
Said, John.
I don't know what's going on with St. Thomas, but assuming St. Thomas is being added to the Big Ten, the Gophers are picked to finish 15th in the Big Ten. Which actually makes sense, given that they literally have an entire... It's like they started a new team from scratch this year.
They really did. And of course,
they have...
The worst part, John, the worst part is that all of these like incredible prep guys are coming out of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Like the most like names I have heard of. And they're just... No one is staying here, John. No one.
I mean... Gopher basketball is not really a historically successful program, but this might be...
This is the low point.
This might be a low point. Now they'll probably... I just... How could you possibly... They're going to be wearing name tags until February.
Just having blue painter's tape on their shirt.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mike. Hi, Mike. What position do you play?
You know, like St. John's football would always have their names like across the front of their helmet because there was 195 guys on the team or whatever, and there was no other way to remember everybody's name. They're going to have to do that like with tape on their foreheads this year, because otherwise, how is Ben Johnson going to remember who anybody's name is?
I just looked up their roster. I don't recognize a name.
That's because, Brandon, you might have thought I was joking when I said that they're all new this year, but they're all new this year.
Yeah. Okay, so once I saw it, Peyton Willis, that's a guy. He played on the team last year, I think.
Peyton? No, Eric, that was a guy. He was in the cover of like Madden in like 1998 when he was the running back for the Browns.
The Browns, yeah. Yeah, he's got a couple years of eligibility. He's doing the J.R. Smith thing.
Nice.
Yeah, which is super cool. I do hope that takes off. That's a very fun thing that he did. He realized he had some college eligibility left, and now he's in college as a golfer, J.R. Smith. Did you guys know that?
That's awesome. No.
Yeah.
That
yeah, it's like some sort of North Carolina college. That should happen way more often. All
it
pros
really
go back to college.
Have fun. Be free.
Have fun. And be free.
Eric Curry. Go to Quarter Beer Night. Jesus.
Yeah, do it. Eric Curry, I've heard of. I feel like he's been on the team.
No, I think that's an MTV VJ.
Okay. Now... I think you're right about that. Now, you can't have heard of this name. There is a person on our squad, number 15, Charlie Daniels.
He's dead. Literally dead.
That's not a real thing.
Senior, /center, Charlie Daniels. He's from Georgia.
Well, of course he's going to go.
Where else do you think he went to?
Where else are you going to go when you... Bit of fiddle of gold
real.
Against your soul. He'll make a bet with you.
No, he's from Florida, but you know,
that's
probably
one
been
half
there.
Dozen the other. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
especially if he's in the Panhandle, that's basically Georgia.
Same fucking thing. And then who?
Chicken
I have
the
no
bread
idea
pan
who the rest of these people
dough.
Are. They've got okay. Now I swear to God, this I might be getting trolled. I'm pretty sure they've got a kid on the team from Glenwood, Minnesota. And hold on, I'm not done. Another kid from Grand Marais, Minnesota. These cities don't have basketball.
No. Grand Marais got Rough Cat. And
that's it. Our friend Dylan. That's all they've got in Grand Marais.
And Glenwood's got Waterama. And that, I think that's it.
I love the way you... Waterama.
That's what the name of their city, their summer fun days are. Because there's a lake there. It's called Waterama.
Yeah, I know. It's Minnewaska. My family's from there. I'm a Glenwood man.
Your family's not from Minnewaska.
You're from the Glenwood Broxy, sir? I do declare
that's where my ancestors is from.
Wow.
Oh, Glenwood. They invented Waterama. Yes, John, my family is from Glenwood, Starbuck area. Yeah, I know Minnewaska. I know Water's Edge. I know Waterama. I know it all, baby. Softball fields and the Dairy Queen, a couple highways, an old downtown. I mean, I couldn't be making this sort of stuff up.
But why would you? What's your motivation to make that up?
It would be insane.
It would be the wrong thing to do.
It wouldn't make any sense.
No.
That's not me, baby.
It makes as much sense as us talking about Gopher basketball tonight.
That's true. You did this to us.
That is my fault. So
yeah,
I just wanted to bring us down a little bit.
So. We were a little bit too happy with that wild talk. Yep. There goes the boner clock. Mm-hmm. Down to six. Okay, well, we put in our hour. We tend to try to wrap it up around there. John, do you have any footy thoughts? Any parting words of wisdom for us? Anything? The floor is yours.
I think the Loons are going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
And since you actually like reported on the games, that's like actually like got some heft to it. This is not Jorge Polanco. Right. This is actual like a knowledgeable assessment of the team.
Literally are a member of the lamestream media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they're genuinely good. I think they've been struggling a little bit lately, but it's been because of a lot of injuries. They're getting healthy now. I think they are the record at the end of the season might not indicate it because of all of the things they've been dealing with injuries and stuff. But I think they're one of the best teams in the Western Conference for sure. And they'll be in the playoffs and they'll make some noise once they get there.
Oh, wow. Love that.
That's great. That's a lot of optimism for one show for us.
Phew. Mm-hmm. It's almost too much. Should we get back into this Gopher roster? Got a guy from New Brighton, Minnesota. I mean,
come on.
Give me a break. Fond du Lac, Wisconsin? That's not a town.
It actually is. But
oh.
It's pretty far away, though.
I mean, I will say Charlie that, Daniels. I wasn't kidding about that. John, we cut you off.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I really haven't watched much of the Vikings this year because I've been sleeping every Sunday afternoon because I've been staying up late to watch Minnesota United games, and that is the most dad thing I'm going to say on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
I have to stay up. I have to watch these games, and I have to stay up late and go to the press conference and write my game story, and then I go to bed, and I'm utterly exhausted the next day.
Jeez. Well, you asked for it.
Who knew that sports writers actually do work?
I don't believe it.
That sounds amazing.
You're the only one, man.
You've got this, John.
Thanks, guys. Our good friend Jerry Zagoda is coming back this week, so it's done.
The end is near.
I may be able to stay awake for an entire Sunday now.
Cool.
That is sort of the fun part, is that you get to be awake for Lions Vikings.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Gather round, family.
Ooh.
Daddy's not napping today. We are going to turn on some good old-fashioned football. Matt Millen appears out of nowhere to haunt our home.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Millen would be a good gift for that game, actually. That's...
Yeah, I mean, Matt Millen's like, get me the fuck out of here.
That's a mid-tier 12 o'clock game, John. What are you talking about?
I feel like in the old days, once a season when Matt Millen was on, there would be a story in the paper the next day about the number of people who had called the local station to complain to try to get him taken off the air. Those were the days.
Yeah. And that was when it was it was him and Dick Stockton, I believe, if I remember. And Dick Stockton is still there, but it's his actual ghost. He died in 2018, but he is still doing Eagles and Washington football team. That is still
the only broadcaster during the pandemic that called the games not from home but from a bowling alley where he was firing down cigarettes.
Oh, that's good. All right, that'll do. We'll see you guys in the spring. It's fun talk.
Yeah, it was okay.
I enjoyed it. I'm going to go spill some beer on some other stuff.
All right, I'm pressing stop. Goodbye, everybody.
Okay. Skull.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.